Father, we just have come to this point where we are so hungry for your word, and we're grateful that it is a living document. It's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It's withstood the test of time, it's withstood criticism, it's been forged through the ages, it's God-inspired. Otherwise, why would we bother to base our lives on it? But God, it's truth, and we're so thankful for its refinement and its purity. And its liberation power, its ability to bring gladness to a saddened heart, its ability to inform us and guide us out of nebulous, confusing kind of alternatives and into the straight and narrow path. God, it's a lamp to our feet. It shines on us. It's brighter than the noonday sun. And I pray the beams and radiance of God would shoot in this place. And I pray a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And God, I pray you change me into another man, and I pray that you light me on fire, and I pray I minister effectively by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your Bible, go to Philemon, verse 6. Philemon, written by the Apostle Paul to Philemon, who was a prominent Christian of his day. It's a beautiful letter where Paul is defending Onesimus, who had run away, was a slave to Philemon, which of course in the Roman times, that was how that rolled. And he had gotten saved. Onesimus had gotten saved, and Paul was trying to restore him back to Philemon. Paul, in his introduction, he's thanking God for him and making mention of him in his prayer and acknowledging that the hearts of the saints had been refreshed through him and that he's a solid brother. And in his prayer, he says something so powerful that's so pronounced. To me, this stands out. In fact, I put yellow highlighter on it because it's been a phenomenal verse to me over the years. He says, "And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus." You know, I don't have time to be ineffective. You don't either. In any area of our lives, in our fatherhood, motherhood, parenting, our work, our Christian walk, in every area of our lives, I'm telling you, being effective is the aspiration our Heavenly Father has for us. And He has given us things and equipped us. Ephesians 1:3 says that He's blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And I think we need to not gloss over that. We need to investigate that. What in the world does that mean? That God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. One translation says it this way: we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. Heaven is a place. Heaven is a destination. It's a location. It has an atmosphere. It has elements to it. We know about the streets of gold, the sea of glass, the gate of pearl, God's throne. There's no need for sunshine because the Lord provides the light. The lion and the lamb will lay down together. There are beings flying around singing, "Holy, holy, holy." There are the redeemed of the Lord in robes of righteousness praising God. It's a beautiful place. It's a lavish place. It's because God's there. It's the most wonderful situation that we can't even wrap our heads around it. And yet God has given us every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. Everything heaven has is imparted into the name of Jesus. When we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus, our whole world changes. The Bible says that when we respond to Jesus and repent, we become a brand new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he or she becomes a new creation. The old things have passed away, all things have become new. And lately, I've been watching people giving their lives to Jesus. A guy stopped me at Deerberg's grocery store. He was an atheist, not anymore. I talked to a widow the other day whose husband had given his life to the Lord. He was very analytical. He was scientific. His hobby was astrophysics. He was a physician. He was a surgeon of great prominence. And for a while, dismissed the whole idea of God. But because he was a conscientious learner, obviously, as he continued to seek, guess what? If you seek, you find. And he developed a connection with God, got saved. And hallelujah, he's on the other side. He's enjoying the realities that he had embraced. I'm glad he didn't put it off. I'm glad he didn't stay dismissive. I'm glad he continued in his search. If you seek, you'll find. And in these verses, I want you to seek and delve into this idea that the fellowship of your faith will become effective, fruitful, impactful, increased, enhanced. expanded, enlarged, fulfilled through the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ. Not the things that are eluding you, not the things that are going to be there when you step out of your body in heaven. Those things are certainly wonderful. But what God has already provided for us in Christ is not to be ignored. He has given us His very Holy Spirit to come into our bodies. The Scripture even calls us containers, or we are temples of the Holy Spirit. That's amazing. And that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Amazing. We are on a literal rescue mission. I had to pull over today because an ambulance came by, and I thought, these guys equipped with defibrillator paddles, they're ready to put IVs on people, they're ready to do CPR, they're ready to resuscitate people. And I've watched these guys do this. I was at the hospital when Marco had a car fall on him and crushed his head to 4 inches. It smashed his head to 4 inches wide. And I saw the paramedic standing over him at the hospital crying. And he had helped him. He had facilitated that. He had helped him. And then the doctor stood there and he prayed. We prayed together. Marco came through. He's a living, walking tribute. People walking around the church here, you read in the Bible about blind Bartimaeus, who's now seeing Bartimaeus, or Simon the leper, who no longer has leprosy, and they're cruising around going, hey, there's that guy there. Or Lazarus, hey, what's up, Lazarus? What was it like being dead for 4 days? I don't know, man, it was creepy. You want to hear it? I bet they had like, let's have lunches with Lazarus. Tell me about it, dude. Well, we've got people like that in our church. A lady who couldn't speak for 2.5 years comes up the next day. She can speak. She was mute. Now she could speak. One of the first things she did, she read a book to her granddaughter the first time she ever got to do that. That's deep stuff. Not only that, you think that's amazing. She had a hard time breathing. Breathing, last time I checked, is important. She could breathe. That's a good thing. But I'm telling you, the rarefied air of heaven and the atmosphere of heaven has been breathed out onto the human race. In fact, Jesus breathed onto the human race, not unlike the Father who breathed into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul. I feel the breath, the fresh air of heaven breathing through the church. Remember the early church in the upper room, a rushing mighty wind, the breath of God breathed in. The Bible even says that the Scriptures are God breathed. So I feel God breathing. You know, if you don't have breath, you're dead. And I believe God has caused the church to be a living, breathing entity that's thinking, that has eyes that can see and ears that can hear, and a sensitivity and receptivity to the tone of this thing. And I believe to the degree that we grasp the amazing things God has provided for us, that increases our effectiveness in this dull, dead, sick world around us. This is always my conclusion in every message I preach. I feel the responsibility primarily to remind each one of us of our mission to communicate the gospel of Jesus to each person. In fact, Paul told Timothy, who was a pastor, to do the work of an evangelist. He was a pastor, but he said, do the work of an evangelist. I think we're to proclaim this message, but how can we proclaim something we're unfamiliar with? How can we be joyous about it if it's dull to us? How can we inform people if we don't have information? How can we spark a hunger if we're not really excited about what God has supplied? Come on, man. He's praying for Philemon that the fellowship of his faith, his walk with God, his resourcefulness, his climb and his destiny and purpose would become effective. Do you guys like the word effective? I like effective. I like effective music. I like effective medical procedures. I mean, the other day I visited a guy. They allowed for 8 hours of surgery for this 16-year-old, and they got it done in 5. Now, that's effective. I'm happy about that. 3 less hours for the guy to have to be under. And he's telling one-liners and he's waving to us. I said, we don't need you to minister to us. We came to minister to you. So he laid back down and we prayed for him. He's going to come through. It's so cute. Coming through. But I like the effectiveness of it. And I like the dad and mom, their effectiveness of finding their doctor that people send from all over the world. St. Louis, you know, has a richness of the medical profession. I'm grateful for that. You know, these different places, there's some wonderful things going on with that. Aren't you glad for that? Yes. We're not isolated somewhere where you just don't, you know, you don't even want to get a splinter in some places in the world. You know, you don't. But here, I mean, there's effectiveness because there's study and they're pressing in. And I've even met some of these guys that, and gals that are working and laboring. There's some of them that break down crying because they hate disease. And they, in their life, they want to end it before they die. And I look at it and they've got sometimes more passion than even believers that are on a rescue mission to win people to the Lord, man. And I'm telling you, this will light the fire in each one of our hearts and bring refreshing to us. In fact, he says, "For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother." I believe we're at our best when we're winning people to the Lord and we're refreshing people's hearts on a little 24-hour periods we get. We're doing everything we can to be available to the Holy Spirit. And wouldn't it be nice if our effectiveness increased in this place? Wouldn't that be nice? Think about it. Wouldn't it be nice if signs and wonders followed you? Wouldn't it be nice if people got their sick in your shadow because they heard you had been with Jesus and that if they just got around you, stuff would happen? Wouldn't it be nice if people would bring people that were really hurting and struggling and they knew you would not be condescending or judgmental or dismissive or vague, but you'd really have substance to offer them. You'd have something to give them. Not gold and silver, not prestige, not the cleverness of speech or wisdom of man, but you'd have the presence and power, authentic presence and power of God. Well, actually, you do. We do. It's ours. And we have to understand that and acknowledge that. And to the degree that we do, then that fellowship of our faith becomes effective. The interaction with the people that need encouragement, there's a greater spark. There's a greater presence. It's not exerted through our humanness. It's by the power of His Spirit. In fact, it's not by might or by power. It's by His Spirit. But these are things that are Spirit-taught, Spirit-led, Spirit-engaged, and Paul is praying this for Philemon. Man, I pray that your effectiveness would increase by the knowledge or the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you. Now, acknowledging, by the definition in the dictionary, is to admit the existence of. How many of you believe there's a God? Okay, you're on to something big there. So far, so good. He that comes to God must believe that He is. Question. Survey. How many of you believe that He is? I believe He is. I don't believe He was or will be. I believe He is. He is. What did Moses, "Who shall I say sent me?" "I am that I am." I mean, that's big stuff. It's like, what? Wow, that's deep. God. In His full, bum, bum. He's big. How many of you believe that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him? Get your hands up. You must believe that. There's a reward deal here. You walk with God, and it pleases God. When you walk in faith, the Bible says the men of old and the women of old, they gained approval by their confident faith in God. They saw things happen. And this is our little moment, man. We're not in the Civil War right now. We're not in the World War I period. We're not in the Gilded Age. We're not in World War II. We're not in when Mark Twain was running around, even though Hannibal's around the corner. We're right here in Chesterfield Valley endeavoring to get a hold of this thing in order that the impact can occur and we can light the fuse that could revolutionize multitudes of people's lives. You may be carrying a moment of impact 3 to 6 months from now or 18 months from now that could precipitate change in a family, in a neighborhood, in a region that could revolutionize the course of people's lives for eternity. In fact, no may about it, no vagueness about it. I'm not embellishing or hyping when I say this. That's biblical fact. The gospel is the power of God, and we're born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and we're all called to be sowers who sow the Word. We're called to give the message. And the amazing thing is, it's without embellishment. We proclaim the message, and God confirms His Word with signs and wonders. It's amazing. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. That's why Paul was so excited about going to the great city of Rome, the Mecca of power at the time, and sowing the seed of this simple carpenter from Nazareth, this Savior who was born in Bethlehem. He sows this little seed of the servant leader tells the message, and it changes the course and shape of the world. Not just the Mediterranean world or Europe, but it's come here, and here we are in a 250-year-old nation, and we are thriving and pulsating because of the love of God. Jesus has done something so great. I have so much to be thankful for, don't you? Every day I'm just so fascinated that I got saved. It's the greatest feature of my life. It's the greatest feature of my life. It's better than anything else. It's what we've got going on. And we should not demean it. We should prize it. Everything we see is temporary. But the things that we don't see are eternal. And what's at stake here is so... It's deep stuff. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Romans 8, 37. So we're itemizing the good things that are in us in Christ. And here's a good thing that we have in us. We have a capacity to conquer. We have the heart of a conqueror. In verse 37 of chapter 8 of Romans, Paul is talking about nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, upset, difficulty, worry, demons, things in the past, the present, the future. He says, but in all these things, verse 37, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Get a hold of this. We're more than conquerors in tribulation, pressure, anguish, affliction, burdens, persecution, trouble, tests that push us and try to seize us. In all these things, distress, those things that of calamity, the narrowness of room where you feel squeezed in, things that cause strain or anxiety or suffering, in persecution, dismissive, oppression, belittlement. I've had people tell me to shut up. I've had people, spit on me. I had a guy punch me, It's just that we had people throw rocks at us. It's like, it's nothing compared to what most people deal with in the world. There are people that are truly persecuted. Those are just little things. When we went to Kosovo, we took a set of drums to the drummer. Well, the drummer before got killed for his faith. People pay for this. And yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. We are victorious in famine and destitution and scarcity. When things seem lean, God will see us through. He's faithful, always has been, always will be. In nakedness, or like in the time of Joseph when there was a famine, there's always God's provision. There's always abundance. He always supplies. He is faithful in peril. He's faithful in sword. He's faithful when stress comes. Each one of us, I saw a guy at school. He says on his forearm, he had a tattoo, in every life, a little rain must fall. And I said, wow, my grandma used to say that. He goes, well, it's just a reminder. I said, I guess it's a reminder that life's not easy, but God always comes through. And he went, I guess so, yeah. And it's true. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but we know that we're overwhelmingly conquering in every situation. You can look at every situation and go, well, but it's going to be cool to see how God sees us through on this one. He is faithful. And so what I'm getting at is, in Philemon 6, that the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us in Christ will cause us to catapult past the ridiculous oppressions that sometimes can linger for a while. Some of you are going through some stuff that's been going on for a while. And we know that God will cause all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. There's a relaxation in that. There's a peace in that. There's a confidence that comes in that. And it makes me do 8 things. When things look weird, what are you going to do? Rejoice anyway. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord when things are good. And again, I say rejoice. Does it say that? No, it says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're going to rejoice. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, what does it say? It says, rejoice always. I'm going to look it up. Let's look up 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. I'm just going to unload some of these things on you, if you don't mind. And I pray that it helps you. I'm acknowledging every good thing that's in you in Christ. And if you get a hold of this, it's going to make you more effective. How many of you want to be effective? I do too. Look what it says. Now, I got you at this verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This is what Philippians 4:4 says. I think I even like 1 Thessalonians 5:16 even better. Look what it says. Rejoice always. I'm a guy. I like it bottom line, man. Rejoice always. Rejoice. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Even with us through tears. Even when you feel like your heart is even betraying you. And even when you feel like it's inconsistent with how you feel. He's always worthy of praise. He inhabits the praises of his people. There's a power in praising God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. A little of that goes a long way. There's a power in it, man. When saints are praising God, when things aren't going well, it puts something into context that the devil can't even relate to, man. It weirds him out. It weirds him out. When we're praising God, even when all of our circumstances betray us, and it pleases God. So, number one, always rejoice. Rejoice anyway. Everybody say rejoice anyway. Rejoice. Number two, pray anyway. Pray anyway. What does it say in verse 17? Pray without ceasing. I saw another kid with a tattoo. I'm getting all these sermon materials from tattoos now because everybody gets tattoos. It has pray without ceasing. We're to pray constantly. Don't worry about everything. Anything, pray about everything. Patsy said to me today, we need to pray. We need to pray. This conversation's going south. Let's pray. Yeah, you're right. So we started praying. Praying in the Spirit. Praying with our understanding. In fact, we began to pray and everything changed. From just an aimless moment to a refined, effective moment. I'm telling you, it was cool. It was cool. We walked right into a thing where it was like, bing, bing, bing. And it was related to bing from days before. And we're like, whoa, God is leading us on this thing. Very interesting. Very interesting. He said, give us more detail, Pastor. That's none of your business. But God was leading us. Bible says the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. So we ought to pray about everything. In fact, Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I have found in my Christian life, the best thing you and I can do in situations is to rejoice anyway and pray anyway. And another thing, number three, love anyway. People could be mean, love them anyway. What are we supposed to do with the ugly, acrimonious enemies that we create or we have? We're supposed to bless those who curse us. We're supposed to pray for those who despitefully use us. Bless those and curse not. What? That sounds passive sissy, man. Can't we punch them in the nose and then love them? No, we can't. If you were in the Old Testament, you could do that. You could lob off heads, but you cannot do that in the New Testament. Sorry. We got to love people anyway. Forbearing one another, forgiving each other, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Walk in love. Walk in love. In the words of Aerosmith, walk this way. And then restated by Run DMC, walk this way. And previously stated by Groucho Marx, walk this way. And then John Wayne said it in a Western, walk this way. But man, God said it way before all those guys. Love people anyway. Don't get sour. Love them. Walk in love. God said the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We can do it. Here's another one. Number four. Serve anyway. Serve. The greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. The greatest aspect of kingdom culture, I think, is an attitude of servanthood. Today on the way to church, I was at an intersection that's very narrow. So I stopped. Patsy said, Jeff, both cars could get through there. What are you doing? I said, look, just watch. So the car that came in, I let this car come through, and it was right in the middle where if I had had the car up there, we would have run off the road, and it would have been awkward. And so unlike 9 times out of 10 where people just drive by unappreciative, this lady had her window down, and she smiled real big, and her eyes were squinty. And I thought, wow, wait a minute, Patsy. We've just had a biblical miracle. Somebody was grateful. Hold on. I can't gripe about it. It's messed with me. Now I can't gripe for 30 seconds. I can't overcome bitterness like it's the great tribulation that just kicked in. No, it was amazing. It's like, hallelujah, a happy, nice person. She had squinty little eyes and she was so cute. I said, Pat, did you see how cute she was? Yeah, she was waving like, thank you, Jesus. She was happy. But even when they're mean, And you stand there holding the door and 25 people come through and nobody thanks you. And you're thinking, hey! Which indicates how wonderful your attitude was in the first. Why are you doing it in the first place? To be noticed by men? I guess. Isn't it amazing? Think you got a refined attitude and then your attitude is ridiculous? Serve anyway. Everybody say serve anyway. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Servanthood is a wonderful thing. Serving, loving, it's the greatest in the kingdom. It's the most wonderful thing. Number five, participate anyway. Participate anyway. Your partnership is designed by God. You are unique. You have certain gifts. You have a certain gift mix about you. There's nobody like you. This is one of the things you need to acknowledge. You need to walk around and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and that my soul knows very well. God has given me certain aptitudes. I am called by God to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I am God's son or daughter. I have a spirit of adoption on me. I was rejected and dismissed, but now I'm accepted in the beloved. Alienated and separated before, but now I have access to the throne of grace. I was lost, and now I'm found. My name is recorded in heaven. I am called to proclaim His good news. I'm called to show forth His praises. I am called to think strategically, to plan wisely, to walk with vision. I am anointed by God, and signs and wonders follow me. Goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. The Bible says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Here's where we Christians get upset about this. We don't want to be cocky and get high-minded and think we're cool, so we back off. But then what happens is we get insecure and we get inferiority complexes, and both of those things are, those extremes are designed to mess us up and make us ineffective. And there's just this healthy place where it's like, God, I recognize You made me in Your image for Your pleasure. It's not about me. You made me. You initiated this thing, and You said it's very good. And then even when we botched it, You promised You'd send a Savior who would redeem us, and You brought restoration. I read it in Romans chapter 5. I'm a new creature in Christ, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I'm supposed to acknowledge all these good things in me. I walk by faith and not by sight. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail, according to Deuteronomy 28. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I overcome the world by my faith, 1 John chapter 5. I have confidence that when I ask God and pray in faith according to His word, He hears me and I get those requests. Mountains move when I pray. Woo! Also when others pray, but when I pray. I mean, I've seen situations happen where people prayed, God answered the prayer, and then when somebody said, man, your prayers got answered. Oh, well, not mine. Well, why did you pray then? Of course they were your prayers. Well, it's just the Lord, it's just the Lord. Yeah, except that He's called you to be a co-laborer with Him, and He wants your inner man to be strengthened with this. That's why Paul started that letter. He said, I pray the fellowship of your faith will become effective as you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. God, I just thank You that You've made me a new creature. Ezekiel prophesied, You take away the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. You make us new on the inside. We're worth the blood of Jesus. Jesus shed His blood and paid the price. So when we receive Him, we'll be rescued as realistically as those Chilean miners were. So we rejoice anyway, even if things go weird. We pray anyway, even when we feel like our prayers are just kind of hitting the floor. I heard people say, your prayers don't get past the ceiling. Good news, God's on this side of the ceiling. Quit your griping, man. Pray anyway. Well, I sang and rejoiced. I don't feel like rejoicing. Well, I don't think Paul and Silas felt like rejoicing when their backs were ripped open and they were mistreated and they're in that prison cell trying to go there and reach out to Philippi. Sometimes you don't get resisted when you're just moving equilaterally and staying in the mediocre zone. You don't get resisted when you're on a decline. You get resisted when you're pressing on to go up. Okay? So, and God's called us to press on toward the prize of the upward call. Upward call. Everybody say upward call. Upward. Guess what? None of us are off the hook. We're all going from glory to glory. Well, I was hoping for some restful declining years. No such thing. You don't get them. You go from glory to glory to glory to glory. Look, Moses, who lived to be 120 years old, first 40 years, he had to learn how to be a human being. The next 40 years, he had to learn how to lean on God. And the next 40 years, he had to learn how to lead and be led by God and provide all. And then he goes up on the mountaintop and whoosh, that's cool. But it took some time. God's taken time to teach us some things. So what are you going to do? Rejoice anyway. Pray anyway. Love anyway. Serve anyway. Participate anyway. Number six, work anyway. In Nehemiah, when they got the most attack, the enemy was bearing down on them while they were building the wall around Jerusalem. Has anyone been to Jerusalem? Jerusalem is a walled city. Different regimes built walls, and then different regimes came and tore them down. And they built them and tore them down and built them and tore them down. And there were the Babylonians that tore them down. Nehemiah is this man who hears from his brother that the morale has been shot amongst the people of Israel, and his heart gets connected to this. And it's like, all of a sudden, he just wants to get the morale restored, and he sees his job is to build the walls. He thinks if he builds the walls around the city of Jerusalem, that construction will be a meaningful, tangible statement that will restore the morale of the hurt heart of the people who have been oppressed for so long. So in 52 days, he does an architectural miracle. But in the middle of it, the enemy bears down so hard because the enemy doesn't want to see this restored. And the Bible says the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. You know, I think I can speak for every pastor of every church that's ever been or ever will be, that that's an ideal, that if that happens in a congregation, we could change history. I hope this for every life-giving, God-centered gospel preaching Jesus church. I really do. That the people get a mind to work. That their minds and hearts stay in one accord. That they worship anyway. They love anyway. I read an attribution of Mother Teresa that people are mean. Love them anyway. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people will deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. That was good, huh? By the acknowledging of every good thing in us, that He makes us more than conquerors, I hope this tempers your mettle, gives you that strength that you need, reminds you, that makes you aware of just how incredible God is and what He's capable of bringing us through. God knows how to do it, man. So we're just going to work anyway. The Bible says we're to do our work heartily unto the Lord. Our work, you know, in the next few weeks is we're going to present this play. We're going to invite people. We're going to pray. We're going to believe God. And I'm expecting for radical, radical salvations. When we do the Vacation Bible School, we do Jump. Coming up in the next couple months, 5,000 kids, then their parents, their grandparents, the lights will go on, man. But you know that we're climbing up. You know that this will not be without resistance. You step up in this kind of thing of winning souls. You're moving out of mediocrity and you're pressing up into a threatening type of spiritual behavior. We're actually believing God that the nations of the world will be reached through our endeavors. We're believing God for supernatural inspiration, for life-changing power to flow, for miracles to take place. The chief miracle is for a soul to be saved. We're expecting that. So we're going to, even though there might be resistance, even though there's antagonism, I noticed every year right before Easter, tremendous spiritual battle. It's like clockwork, man. But I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to rejoice anyway. I'm going to pray anyway. I'm going to love anyway. I'm going to serve anyway. I'm going to participate anyway. Number seven, Forgive anyway. Forgive anyway. What does the Bible say? What's the math? 70 times 7. How much is that, mathematicians? 490 times. Per offense, per day. Per person. So some of you are going, you go to the dollar store and you buy a clicker, and you're going, man, they hit 480. I still have to forgive them. You're still under the threshold of grace. I wonder if somebody's offended somebody 491 times of one offense. It's like, I'm off. I'm in the clear, man. I don't think so. I don't think so. What is Mark 11, 25? You know, listen, we love a Mark 11, 23 and 24. You know, 22 says, have faith in God. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but believe those things which they say shall come to pass. They'll have whatever they say. We love that. We love mountain-moving faith. Hallelujah. We love the dynamics of that. We believe it. And then all things for which you pray and ask, believing you receive them, you shall have them. I love the idea of prayer that is so powerful, that accesses God's heart and obtains things, literally moves things, changes things. Aren't you excited about it? Yeah, then it gets to the criteria of it, which is, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone. What? Anything? Why did that have to go in there? Against anyone? Not, God, what? That doesn't give us 1/8 of an inch of wiggle room. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your transgressions forever and ever. Amen. Forgive anyway. Everybody say forgive anyway. Amen. Forgiveness is the power for the hour. Walk in love. Forgive. Forgive, 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 forgive. Be strong on the forgiveness point. Be strong in the mercy side. Be strong in grace. Those of you that are black and white, justice oriented, ease up and be merciful. Those of you that are chill, stay merciful. Those of you in between, be merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Forgive those jerks. Number 8, follow through anyway. Follow through anyway. God's called us to follow through. You know, I saw a guy hit a home run, and he didn't touch one of the bases. And when he went over, they tagged him out. And he went, well, and then another guy, if they go to third base and they don't make it all the way to home plate. I saw a guy hit an infield what was going to be a home run. And when he got up to the plate, if he didn't get to the plate, the guy tagged him out like inches before the plate. He's out. No point on the scoreboard. So pressing on toward the prize, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's look at this, because we're acknowledging every good thing in us so we'll be effective. And I'm just giving you like an 8-point, in fact, this is the 8th point, and we're done. But just rejoice, pray, love, serve, participate, work, forgive. I want to finish with follow through. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus was obedient to the point of shedding blood. He didn't let up until he did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. Therefore, since we have so amazing a group of people who have walked this thing out in their particular journey, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance. Everybody say follow through. To the race that is set before us. Here's what I propose to you. There, according to the Living Bible paraphrase, is a particular race mapped out for you. And I'll say this too. I believe God has daily supernatural divine connections, supernatural leadership, supernatural opportunities to pray, to pick things up in the Holy Spirit, to be available to encourage people, to be available to speak the word of the Lord to people. God led me into the woods one day when I was living at my parents' house when I was a teenager, and a bunch of kids were smoking weed by the subdivision pond. And I ministered to a kid that my brother had actually witnessed to. And I gave him a prophetic word while they're standing there. They're smoking weed and they're getting high and they're talking about God before I even started it. And I shared the word with this guy. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, he died in a car wreck. I just thought, well, I was probably the last witness to this guy. I was driving from a Christian bookstore, and I drove by a bar, and a lady was sitting under a tree in the middle of the day crying, and I had my friend turn around. So we went back, and we were witnessing to her, and this big owner of the bar comes barreling out, and he's thumping me on the chest and telling me to shut up. This lady said, and she wasn't that drunk. She was drunk enough to be sitting under the tree depressed because it's a depressant, but she was coherent, and she was thinking, and she was thoughtful. And she said, there you are. And I said, what do you mean? She said, last night I prayed that if there's a God, he would help me. He would send somebody to me. And here you are talking to me about God. And the guy heard it, and he got mad. I know a blank a lot more about religion than you do, boy. And he's thumping me on the chest, a big, super giant, like a foot taller than me, like 100 pounds heavier than me. His finger was the size of my arm. And thump, 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 thump. But see, God didn't call us to win arguments. He called us to win souls. I said, sir, I bet you're more religious than I am. I bet you know more than I do. I understand. I just was driving by. I saw this lady here. I just felt like I needed to talk to her. And so she said, yeah, please, please. So we prayed, got to lead her to the Lord, drove off. I thought, man, she prayed the night before. And we're driving by. God, that was not the reason I went to the Christian bookstore to get the book. It wasn't to go get the book. It was because God wanted me to... God was tracking. He was saying, hey, usable believer, can I use you for a minute? Sadly, sometimes I've been indifferent. I've passed some opportunities. In fact, one time, God put me across the planet in the path of people that he wanted me to witness to. But I was so vexed by people that had turned on me, that were talking bad about me on the internet and attacking me on a daily basis for about 3 years. I was so worn down. And God put an opportunity before me with people God had called me to witness to, and I was so canceled out by the oppression that I didn't even step through the door to minister to the people God had called me to. Later, the guy died of a heart attack. The other guy, he was looking for us. Come to our concert. Come talk to us. Where's Jeff? I mean, it was amazing favor, but I was carrying so much oppression from the attack from church people that I missed my moment. I missed my moment. And so I say this with conviction. Do I have a bit of an edge about that? Of course I do. Am I hurt by that? I'm saddened that I disappointed God? Yes. But I'm excited about the moments where I've hit it. I'm very sad about the moments where I've missed it. It's amazing what the devil will try to use to stop us. But we've got to forgive. We've got to love. We've got to rejoice. So listen, I'm not preaching this because it's cute. I want the effectiveness of your faith to amp up. And I will just tell you that it is inevitable that offenses will come. You cannot make everybody happy. So you got to figure out how to rejoice anyway. Say rejoice anyway. Rejoice. Pray anyway. Say pray anyway. Pray. Love anyway. Serve anyway. Well, nobody will notice me, and I don't think they like me, and I'm trying to serve them. I'm going to take my ball and go home. It's like me being Mr. Magnanimous. Oh, no, you come on. Here's the door. Hold it. Thank you very much, you ingrate. Well, then it's like God goes, oh, wow, let's check out how nice you are. So now it's like, we got to do this for the right reasons.
Yeah, we
do. Thank you, Patsy. I've heard that voice say the very same thing to me in private time. Work anyway. Forgive anyway. Forgive anyway. Listen, I've actually had reconciliation with some of the antagonistic people I just talked about. I missed my opportunities. I let that vex me, but God worked it out. Hallelujah. He worked it out with one, 50% of it. That's pretty good. The other 50%, no, but at least it was exciting to see some change. Can't make everybody happy, but it's cool when some stuff works out. Let's all stand to our feet. I think I just helped somebody when I just made that turn at the end of the service. It's amazing. Those little side things sometimes have the greatest power. Say this with me. I press on toward the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So we're shaking off the heaviness. We're shaking off the fear and doubt. We're forgiving everybody. Say, I forgive everybody. Oh yeah, there's power in that. There's power when we pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. We, as much as it depends on us, we're to be at peace with one another. Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. We're to be at peace. We're to pursue peace. We're to believe God for it. Everybody say peace. So God, I pray for a stabilizing, peace-oriented thing in this church. I pray you get us ready for increase, ready for harvest, ready for Easter, ready for souls. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, we will be diligent to intercept broken lives and bring them into the kingdom. Could it be that you want to stimulate an amazing awakening, a move of the Holy Spirit, some type of what maybe people would call a revival or what people would call a harvest or something like that? We're open. We're open. We know it would be undeserved, but if you want to position something like that, we pray you help us, Father, to really hit it. And I acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ. I acknowledge greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I acknowledge that if God's for me, who could be against me? I acknowledge that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment I condemn. I acknowledge that Jesus, the King, is the head of the church, and the gates of hell can't prevail against it. And I just thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Let's lift up our hands and let's rejoice. Let's thank God. Let's thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray the grace of God would fill each person's heart. I pray substance would just stir in each person's life. That thing called faith would grow as a result of having sown probably 40 verses tonight. Jesus, we acknowledge you're the Word made flesh. We acknowledge you're the most interesting, most fascinating being who has ever been. You're the most beautiful being ever. You created rainbows and oceans, and you're so glorious. And we are looking forward to being at home with you for eternity. And God, we recommit our hearts to try to engage as many people as we can to come to know you. Jesus, could it be a harvest is about to be precipitated on a phenomenal level? We pray for a lot of souls. We call upon you and we pray for the nations, the heathen for our inheritance and the ends of the earth for our possession. We trust you for it. We believe you for it. We realize there's strong contention against it, but we will stand. And having done all to stand, we're going to rejoice anyway, pray anyway, and so forth in Jesus' name. Everybody say anyway. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great night. Stick around in fellowship.